All right, so let's see what we can do with some of these shitos when it comes to the sugya of Naska de Rav Abba, and let's see how we can play it out in a more global sense when it comes to the concept of Eid Echad. So yesterday we discussed, first we had a machlokes amoron, when it comes to the concept of mitoch she'eno yochol lishava, right? So we are used to the concept of mitoch she'eno yochol lishava mishalim, which is a fair concept. But what if no one's able to take a shvua? So the Mishnah discussed this concept, and the Mishnah brought out that the shvua goes back to where? So Rav and Shmuel, who were known as the Rabbu Seinu Sheva Bavil, they held that it goes back to Har Sinai, which means that no one has to swear, and the Beis Din cannot act on this mammon. The mammon basically stays where it is, because it goes back to the regular din of lo signo, lo sigzo, right? And that's all we can do. And Rabbi Abba holds, no, it goes back to person who's mechuyev to take the shvua, and that person can't take the shvua, and we say mitoch she'eno yochol lishava mishal. That is the machlokes amoron. Then we had a discussion in Tosfos, both Tosfos in Meseches Shvuas on Lamed Beis and Lamed Beis, as well as Tosfos in Meseches Bava Basra on Daf Lamed Aleph and Aleph, where they asked the question, why can't the case of Naska de Rav Abba be Neman Bishvua with Amigu? Right? Meaning, he's supposed to swear to contradict the Eid Echad, but he can't, because he says, I agree with what the Eid Echad said. That's Lashon is in Chatvi, Vididi Chatvi. So he says, I agree that what you saw is true, you're just missing information, and therefore, you have no right to force me to pay it back. So he can't swear to contradict the Eid Echad, but he could swear to something else. He could swear that what he took was really his, and therefore we should believe him. Why? Because Migu, that he could have sworn to contradict the Eid Echad, he should be Nevan to swear to his particular story. That was the Kasha of Tosfos. So we had two different answers to that question. Who remembers the Re's answer? There's no Migu over here because it is a Migu da'aza. So we call it Migu da'aza, which means that when you would be too embarrassed to say the better taina, so Mamela, it's not amigo. He's like, I could have said this. No, you couldn't have. Because it would have been, you have the ne'emonis to say it, but we don't think b'mitzius you would say it. That's the idea. Right? So that's we spoke a little bit about Rabbi Chanan's chilek over there, into what type of migu we're talking about. So this is what we call a migu of Ma'li l'shaker, and therefore, since it's a migu of ha'aza, we don't say a migu of ma'li l'shaker because we don't have the chutzpah to say such a taina. Mele, you don't get to rely on that taina to prove that what you're saying now is true. So that is the shita of the Re. The Rivam had a strong kasha against the Re. The Rivam's kasha was, if there's no migu, how on earth can Rav and Shmuel argue? Right, Rav and Shmuel say, in such a case, since the fellow can't, let's just give them names, right? We have Reuven took the Nascha from Shimon, and Reuven claims, in Chatvi v'didi Chatvi. So now, Reuven's going to win? An Eid Echad says, I saw you stealing. And Reuven says, yeah, you're right, you saw me stealing, but I was really stealing what's mine. That's good enough? How could he win? That's the kasha of the Rivan. He says, must be he does have a migu. Right? Must be he does have a migu. The migu is that exactly what we said, that I should be Neman to swear that this is mine, because I would have been Neman to swear to contradict the Eid Echad. Right? So what comes out of first nafkamina of the Rivan is that he's actually taking a shvua here. When Rav and Shmuel say, and would argue, Rav and Shmuel never commented on the actual case of Naska de Rav Abba. But when the Gemara presents Rav and Shmuel as saying that the shvua goes back, so what would they say in this hypothetical scenario that they never actually addressed? The Rivam claims that they would say that he has to take a shvua, and he would be believed. How on earth can he take such a shvua? We're going to believe him under those circumstances? The answer is he has a migu. It's a good migu. Not a migu da'aza. So then, what's the, if it's a good migu, then why does Rabbi Abba say, mitoch she'eno yochol lishava mishalim? He says, because that's what the Torah says. When an Eid Echad contradicts your words, Mela, you have one choice. Your choice is swear against him and you win. And if you don't swear against him, I don't care what kind of taina you have, doesn't win. That's the Rivam. And we pointed out that some of the Achronim, including Rav Shach and Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, they wanted to claim that there's difficulty in both of the Balei Tosfos Shitas, and they wanted to claim a third possibility, which you know could be described as the Shita of the Rambam, perhaps, or at least the Vilna Gaon's interpretation of a comment in the Rambam. So the Rambam was talking about something else. The Rambam was talking about when someone comes to my house to seize my metaltalim, I owe the guy $1 million, and now he comes to my house, he sees I have all these expensive items all over my house. So he's going to take them. So the Beis Din comes to collect, and I say, oh, you can't collect from my, my Honus Wagner baseball card collection and my diamonds and my, you know, all my jewelry, because all of those are on loan. I don't actually own any of those, right? So the Rambam says, we don't believe you. We assume that those actually do belong to you until you can prove some kind of raya, bring some kind of raya that they belong to somebody else. That is the Shita of the Rambam, and the Magid Mishnah says, yeah, the Mestama, the Rambam is right, I just don't know where he got that from in the actual Gemara. Whereas the Vilna Gaon says, I can tell you where he got it from. He got it from the Sugya of Nascha de Rabbi Abba. That's where he got it from. It says it, Kimat Beferish. How does it say it, Kimat Beferish? We say that the Eid Echad testifies that I saw you grab it from this fellow. I saw Reuven grab the Nascha from Shimon, and now you are considered to be chayev to pay Kolzman, that you can't prove your case. Why? Because since the Eid Echad saw it in Shimon's house, that proves that it's Shimon until you prove otherwise. That's the Gruz comment, and he says so too in the Rambam's case. The Rambam is understanding that anything that the Beis Din comes to your house and they see something sitting in your living room, we assume that belongs to you until you can prove it with some kind of a raya that it doesn't belong to you. That's what we're learning from the Sugya of Nascha de Rabbi Abba. So Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer takes that idea and he runs with it and he says, in general, what's the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel on one hand and Rabbi Abba on the other hand? Meaning that's gufa what they're arguing about over here. How seriously do we take the comment of the Eid Echad that I saw the Nascha in Shimon's hands and Reuven grabbed it away from him? How seriously do we take that? Do we take that as an absolute raya that the Nascha belonged to Shimon? In which case, Reuven's counter-argument of in chatfi v'didi chatfi is not too great. Why? Because it's being contradicted by the Metzius. It's being contradicted by the Chazaka of Kol Mashitachas Yado Shalohu. Now, wait a minute. We have an Eid Echad who says, we saw that Shimon had it. So Mela, we're not going to believe that it belongs to Shimon until you can prove conclusively that it didn't belong to Shimon. And Mela, your taina of Didi Chatfi is nothing. You understand? Your taina of Didi Chatfi has no nemonis, and therefore we're not going to believe you on anything. And now you're going to have to pay it back if you can't swear to contradict the actual story of the Eid Echad. That's how Rabbi Abba is learning the Sugya. And Memela, we see from there a raya that when someone sees with their own eyes that it belongs to, that something is in that person's reshus, we take that as an establishment of a chazaka that it's yours, and now you have to prove otherwise with conclusive evidence. That's the way he wants to explain Shitas Rabbi Abba. Rav and Shmuel argue on that. That's goof of the point that they debate. Rav and Shmuel say, no, the fact that there's an Eid Echad who testifies that I saw Reuven take it from Shimon does not conclusively prove that it actually belonged to Shimon. Right? So Memela, now when this guy says, in Chatfi, Vididi Chatfi, so this part is very debatable, but that's what Rav Zalman says. That's a shtickel ha-pesha asar over there. Meaning, I agree that, yes, I'm going to tell you it belonged to Shimon. It was in his rishus. But you don't have to care about that because he never was the owner of it in the first place. It was really mine. I had loaned it to him. I had given it over as a pikadon. But memela, the thing really belongs to me. And therefore, you should believe the second half of my statement that I was just taking back what was mine. I'm agreeing to the first half of the statement when the Eid Echad testifies that it was in the hands of Shimon, that seems to establish that he actually had it. We don't necessarily believe the Eid Echad on that more so than my refutation of his claim. So when I agree that the story went down the way the Eid Echad says that it went, Mimela, I'm having a Ne'amanus of a Pesha Asar over there, and therefore you should believe the second half of my statement, which is that I was just taking back what's mine. That's how he wants to explain Shitas Rav and Shmuel under these circumstances. And that's how he says that's the pshat in the Gra. The Gra is saying that the whole chiddush of Nascha de Rabbi Abba is that when there's an Eid Echad who says, I saw it in Shimon's Rishus, that establishes it as being in Shimon's Rishus. And therefore, if Beis Din comes to your house to seize property or to seize Metaltalin, we have the right to assume that when they see those Metaltalin in your house, that absolutely belongs to you. That's the Chiddush of Rabbi Abba. Notwithstanding any possible Migu, notwithstanding anything else. So that's a third alternative in terms of how you can understand the Chiddush of the Sugi of Nascha de Rabbi Abba. Now, based on those three versions, and I'm sure that you could find more, but just keeping it simple with those three, and really, just let's work first with the two in Tosfos. With the two in Tosfos, so we can sort of branch out a little bit now and try to understand in general, there's a concept of mitoch she'eno yochol lishava mishalim. How do we understand the din of mitoch she'eno yochol lishava mishalim when it comes to the machlokes, Rav and Shmuel on one hand, and Rabbi Abba on the other hand? Meaning, everyone agrees there is such a concept. An Eid Echad comes and testifies against you. Right? Minat Torah, we say, mitoch she'eno yochol lishava mishalim. If you can't swear to contradict the Eid Echad, v'meila, you have to pay. How are we going to look at that? How are we going to understand that perspective? Any suggestions as to how we're viewing this? Right, but forget about even just Dafka and Eid Echad case. It would be any case, even Modi B'miktas, let's say. I'm Modi B'miktas, and now I have the opportunity to swear and pater myself. You say I owe 1,000, I say 500. I have the opportunity to swear and pater myself from the 500 at that point. So you can say the same svar, just I don't want to limit it to Eid Echad at this point in time. Right, so you could say like this: do I owe the money or not? You say I owe 1,000. I agree to half of it. Do I actually owe the money right now? And the shvua that I would take is sort of bailing me out. It's mafkia, the chiyav tashlumin. Or we could say no. I don't have a chiyav tashlumin at this point. I have a chiyav shvua. Right? There's another category that the Torah created called a Chiyuv Shavua. And only if I choose not to take the Shavua under certain circumstances, then I'm going to have to pay. Meaning, you make a taina against me. I say the taina is not accurate. So, what do I owe now? Meaning, your taina is good enough, for whatever reason, that I have to swear. So do I have a chiyuv to swear, and then we can all go home? Or I really have a chiyuv to pay, just the shvua can get me off the hook. That's the two ways, you could look at it other ways as well, but two possibilities within the idea of mitoch she'eno yochol lishava mishalim. So the first way, again, that really I have a chiyuv tashlumin, and I can't take the chiyuv tashlumin. I don't want to pay, so mela I can swear. So comes along Rabbi Abba and says, kol zman, that you don't swear, you have to pay, because you really had a chiyuv to pay in the first place. right? And more than that, the Chachamim tried to help you out and say, since you can't swear and people are going to be taking advantage of you all the time, so we're going to throw the Chi of Shavua onto the other guy. Midaraisa, he should really get the money right now. Midarabanan, we say he has to be Nishba Vinotil. Right? That's what the Chachamim did to do you a favor. But let's say that guy can't swear either. Okay, so then we go back to the Dindaraisa, and you have a chiyuv tashlumin. You want to swear? You can't. Okay, you got to pay. That's Shitas Rabbi Ab. Shitas Rav and Shmuel, perhaps, is not that way. Rav and Shmuel, they say that normally, when you have a chiyuv shvua, that is your obligation. Now, let's see what happens to that obligation. Sometimes you have an obligation and you choose not to do it. Sometimes you have an obligation and you can't do it. There's a difference, right? Let's say a guy has to wakes up in the morning, he's got a chiyuv to put on tefillin. He says, you know what? No tefillin, I'm not feeling particularly inspired this morning, so no tefillin for me. So that's called, he's being mevatel a mitzvah saseh. There's negative repercussions and ramifications for such an act. Ashenkin, if a person wakes up in the morning and unfortunately has a major stomach problem and he simply can't put on the tefillin, so that's not choosing not to put on the tefillin, that's honest Rachmana Padre. What's he supposed to do already? He can't put on the tefillin. So he doesn't get any negative credit, right? They say, I read this in a biography of the Chazon Ish. There's a fellow, I think Halpern is his name. His father was like the Chazon Ish's big money man. Chazon Ish had certain people who, when he needed to get certain things done, he would go to them. So this fellow who wrote this book, his father was the Chazon Ish's big money guy who helped him build a lot of very excellent institutions. So so the Chazon Ish had didn't in general did not have great health. He didn't have in general. The more you learn about the Chazon Ish, he did not have an easy life at all. Very, very hard life. So one of the ways in which his life was difficult was that he had very severe stomach problems. This fellow says that he heard Chazon Ish say from time to time, when he wake up in the morning, he'd say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you gave me an obligation to put on tefillin, and the same way I'm supposed to do that with kavana and with desire to fulfill your wishes, so too, you were mitzava me on a day like today not to put on tefillin, and memela I'm going to do that with the same desire to serve you properly. So I don't know if he said a hinani mukhan mazumar or shame yichud to not put on tefillin, but that was his intention. His intention was to dafka serve you by not putting on tefillin the same way I would have served you by yes putting on tefillin, right? Similar to the vort from Shimon HaAmsuni, right? Kshem shekibalti schara ladrisha, right? So they're saying the same idea that I'm going to not put on tefillin today. So that's how you could look at that scenario. So also here, when a person chooses not to take a shvua, he's choosing not to take the shvua. I am chayev, I have an eid echad against me, I have a modem mikzas case, whatever it is. So I say, I'm too frum to swear. I don't like to swear. Right? Swearing is not so gishmak, right? It's one of the Ten Commandments, not to swear falsely, as we know from this week's parsha, right? But in addition, even to swear truthfully is not stam. Right, and therefore I don't want to take a shvua. So that's the guy's prerogative. Now the truth is, all you were chayiv before was a shvua, but memela now you are choosing not to take it. That generates a chiyuv tashlum. The fact that you obligated, so you refuse to do what the Torah obligates you to to take upon yourself, memela that generates a chiyuv tashlum. Mashen kein. If you can't take the shvua, it's not your fault. On this Rachmana Patre. So there is no reason to generate a chiyuv tashlum. Nothing is helping, nothing is causing the chiyuv tashlum to come out, and therefore you are completely putter from paying under those circumstances because you were only chayiv shvua before. You weren't chayiv tashlum before. And you didn't choose not to swear, you were unable to swear. So therefore, there's nothing there to generate the chiyuv tashlumin per se. Yeah.
It seems a little bit odd that it's easier, that it would make it easier for someone who's puzzled for shvua, kasha al shvua, than somebody who has to do shvua.
Right, but the fact that I'm chashud ala shvua does not mean, meaning, that means one thing and one thing only. Once I lied, right? I'm not officially, and I got myself branded a liar. It's not, you know, it's definitely, quote unquote, my fault, there's no doubt, but that doesn't give the whole world the right to now start taking advantage of me, right? I gave the example yesterday, we hear when I gave the example, everyone's going to want to lend you a dollar, right? What's going to happen? So you say, like, you're standing by a soda machine. I don't know about that. I think the I don't know what it's like in KBY now, but when I was in yeshiva in KBY, there was, I think the shekel was worth less than it is today. And I don't know, how many shekels for a dollar nowadays? What? It's less than four, you're saying? Yeah, so it was right, so it was more than four. It was more than four. It was like four and a quarter to $1. So a shekel was less than a quarter, and they installed an RC Cola soda machine at the time. So it's a lot of good meislach with the RC Cola. Right? Their slogan at the time was Hatam Shenei Fachet America Ala Rosh. Right? So all the Americans were like, we don't have this in America. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. But okay, whatever. So it was, and they were charging two shekels per RC Cola. Like, can of RC was two shekels. So everybody was very excited, you know, like, so we always said that everyone's going to go to Gehenna after Me'eva Esrim because no one ever bothered to pay back anyone the two shekels for an RC. Like, you kind of hoped it would balance itself out over time, but like, two shekels, who's going to ask for two shekels back, you know? So like, everybody's like, oh, I'm thirsty. So you're standing by the soda machine, and there's this one Nebuch guy, he wants his two shekel for the RC, right? So assume that two shekels is at least equal to two kesef, you know, that's required for modim mikzas. Right, so now I know that you are chashud ala shvua because 2 weeks ago in court you went to court and you got caught swearing falsely. So now you say, oh, I really want an RC Cola, so I'm going to borrow two shekels from you. So I'm like, yeah, sure, here's two shekels, enjoy it. And then the next day I come over to you, so where's my $1,000? What, $1,000? You loan me two shekels.
Right. So you shouldn't have been like that.
Right. Okay, but now you're trying to turn over a new leaf. You want to be an honest man. You feel bad about what happened. It was a momentary lapse in judgment. Okay, so now for the rest of your life, everyone's going to be able, or at least until you become kosher, so everyone's going to come and lend you a dollar and then ask you for the $1,000 back. Because everyone knows you can't take a shvuah, so we're going to make you swear that that you don't owe the other 999, and you're not going to be able to do it. So that's why they created this protection. Okay, so at least now I should have to swear in order to collect, right? You're not choosing not to swear, you're just not able to swear. So Mela, Rav and Shmuel hold that in a case where the guy can't swear, there's no chi of Teshlumin. And therefore, if nobody can swear, that's it. Din goes back to Sinai. Okay, so that based on that differentiation, I want to try to plug it into the different dais in the Rishonim that we just discussed, right? So you have the Ri. Now, the Ri is fairly easy to deal with because he says that in the case of Nascha de Rabbi Abba, there's no Migu, right? And Afal Pichein, Rav and Shmuel hold your potter. How does that make any sense? Right? So what? Any suggestions as to how do you defend the Ri against the Kasha of the Rivan? The Ri's Shita is a little bit difficult to deal with because the Rivam's Kasha was, oh, Rav and Shmuel, you know, they say you're going to be punted from paying over here. And why? Let's line up the statements. This fellow says, I have an Eid Echo that says you grabbed something away from me, you took away my Nascha. And this fellow says, yeah, I was just taking back what was mine. And the answer is, you win? Reuven's going to win there? How could he win? Mela, if you want to say he has a migu, okay. But the Ri says he has no migu. So how could he win? So what do you want to say?
If you're Rav and Shmuel hold that migu is based on contaminant waters, and the first time you go to hell, then they hold that you have migu.
So that's one way you could do it, but it seems, at least according to the Rivam's understanding, that's not, you know, he says there's no migu. Right? So you could say that they hold that, meaning, because the Ri wasn't necessarily saying it within Shita's Rav Abba. Now, obviously, he was. So you can conjecture as to what's going on outside of that. But you don't have to go. I would rather stay away from it because I think it's already starting with conjecture. You know, so rather at least start with what we have more along the lines of the facts on the ground. We know what the Rish says. The Rish says that according to Rabbi Abba, there's no migu here. And we don't necessarily think that there's a reason for Rav and Shmuel to argue that there would be a migu here. Right? So within the sheet of the Rish, what could we say to defend him from the Tain against the Rivam? How could Rav and Shmuel say that Reuven wins? Right. Meaning the fact that you have an Eid Echad doesn't make it that I'm more chayav of moment than I was before. It makes it that I'm chayav of a Shvua. That's what an Eid Echad does in this case. And mitok she'en yochel lishava mishalem is enachinami, that because I'm in a situation where I can't swear or I don't swear, then I have to pay. It generates this chayvus at that point. But if it's a situation where mamish, there's nobody's able to take a shvua, so then we should really, you know, should really be putter. So it's not that I win. You understand? In other words, if you look at it, the Rivam's position, and this is just semantics, but still, I think it makes it a little bit clearer. The Rivam is saying, how could Rav and Shmuel say that Reuven wins? Reuven is clearly on the losing end of this debate, right? So that makes the Rivam's kasha look better, right? Eid Echad and Shimon come and say, hey, you stole from me. Reuven says, no, I was just taking back what was mine. Who should win there? You know, so you say, of course Shimon should win, right? But if you look at it from a different way, is that the Eid Echad plus the Tain of Shimon doesn't win, it generates an obligation of a Shvua. So the Re saying, it's not about winning and losing, it's about what am I now chayv? And the answer is, I'm chayv to take a Shvua. So Mele, if I'm chayv to take a Shvua, so then I can either refuse to take it, in which case I definitely have to pay, or I can try to take it, and if you stop me, that's not my fault, and therefore I don't have to pay. So that could be Shitas Rav and Shmuel according to the Ri. Right? Mashenkin, obviously, Rabbi Abba, who says, no, since you, when you produced that Eid Echad, I really was on the losing end over there. I was losing the case. And the only thing I could do to save myself from the Chiyuv Tashlumin was to swear. That was my out. Since I didn't take advantage of it, Mela, I lose. And I have to pay. Yeah.
But you said that's part of the Migo?
That doesn't work within the Re or the Rivam. That's really a separate, it's hard to know who to call that Shita. That's if this is Alma Meltzer's Chiddush in the Gra in the Rambam. You know, that's, you know, I don't know what you want to call it officially. Does that make it into the Rambam? Now that's the Rambam Shita? Not necessarily, right? But it's an alternative mahalach. Okay. However, you have the Rivam, and he holds, in this case, why do we say that he doesn't have to pay? Why does he say that he doesn't have to pay? Migul. Rav and Shmuel hold, he's potter because he has a migul. So point number one that we already said is that he's adding something in over there that given a particular case, you may or may not have to swear in order to be putter. Which is interesting. That's adding to the Gemara now that wasn't in there before. So the Rivam holds that even though in the Gemara it sounds like Rav and Shmuel just say, you wash your hands of the case, that was in their case that they actually spoke about, which was a case of the Yesomim. That's the Gemara that I still can't read. Right? So that's the, you have these, the cases of the Yesomim where you have these Yisomim claiming from those Yisomim, so it depends. The guy cannot be Morish a Shavua to his children, and therefore nobody's able to take the Shavua. So we just let it be. The Yisomim probably owe the other Yisomim a lot of money. Nothing we can do. That's not a case where somebody would have to swear. But given the right circumstances, Rav and Shmuel might necessitate a Shavua to get you out of it as well. Depends on the circumstances. But in the case of Nascha Derbi Ava, Rav and Shmuel would say, you swear that what you took really belonged to you, And you're believed because you have a migo that you could have sworn to contradict the Eid Echad. That's the Rivam Shita in Rav and Shmuel. And how does that work? He says, again, given the circumstances, when a person has a migu, right? When a person has a migu, he can win. Because he was only Chayav Shmuel in the first place. Meaning, it's a little bit different. One second. It's a little bit different than what we said in the Ri. The Rivam holds, how do Rav and Shmuel look at the concept of Mitoch Shinyach Olishav Mishalim? So we look at it as that, yes, there's no chi of tashlumin in the first place, but we're going to evaluate the tainas for what they're worth. Meaning, when I have an eid echad who tainas against you, so yes, the ikar is a chi of shvua, but it's not like the Ri's version of a chi of shvua that has nothing to it. It's a chi of shvua based on the taina that bolsters your taina. We'll come to that hopefully soon. The taina of the Toveya now becomes a little bit better. Right? Doesn't mean that it can't be contradicted by a Shavua, and it doesn't mean that that automatically means a Chi of Tashlumin. That means that now we're going to reevaluate the situation and see if you have anything better. Right? What can you do to contradict that excellent situation that the Toveya has? So if the answer becomes, you have a Migu, you know, if it's a migu with a shvua or whatever, so then you can win. You can win, or not win, but you cannot have to pay. Right? You can be putter from paying. You can match his claim. You claim that I owe you the money with an eid echad, and I therefore can take a shvua to my taina against your eid echad because of the migu. But again, if it was a pure chi of tashlumin that came from the eid echad, that wouldn't work. But if it's a stronger taina that leads to a chi of shvua, then it's shayach to get out of it without actually swearing to contradict what you said. But it's a reevaluation of the tainas. Right? So what we have within the Rivam is that he looks at Rav and Shmuel as saying that a shvua, that the Eid Echad in this case, or the Chi of Shavua in general, serves to bolster the claim of the Toveya. And Mimele, if I don't have something really strong on my end, I can't get out of paying. Not that the Eid Echad is a pure Chi of Tashlumin, but that it does help a great deal to leading to that. And therefore, when I'm Chayav the Shavua, you know, that can be beaten, but it's not so posh. You have to have something really strong on your end. However, Rabbi Abba looks at things very differently. He says, when you have a concept, Mitoch Shein Yochel Yishav HaMishalim, there, the Chi of Shavua is the only thing that can mafkia the Chi of Tashlum. It's the purest of Chiyuvim in that case. Right? Because if I don't pay, then I didn't do what the other person was mechayev me. And the Torah gives you an out called taking a shvuah. But even if I would have a really great taina in return, I would have something really strong on my side, which is not, obviously it wouldn't include if I had two edim on my side, etc. But any taina that I can make, no matter how good it is, even if my taina is quote unquote stronger or better, I would still lose because I didn't take a shvuah. Because the Rivam holds that that's just what the Torah was mechayev you. The Torah, once you have a chi of shvuah, the Torah was mechayev you a shvuah. I have a migu. That's great. That's very nice. But it's not a shvuah. And therefore, if I choose not to swear, obviously I have to pay. And even if I can't swear, it's because I owe the money right now, and the only thing that could have gotten me out of it would have been the shvuah. Again, the problem with that becomes, then why doesn't two Adam get me out of it? Then why doesn't, meaning, how good does my Raya then have to become? You know, so I don't know the answer to that. Meaning, at some point, obviously, I'm not going to be chayav to pay. If I have two Adam who say, you know, they're not contradicting the words of the Eid Echad per se or whatever. Obviously, if two Adam contradicting the words of the Eid Echad, then the Eid Echad is kemisheno. He's out. Right? But if I have something, if I have some kind of evidence, if I have a video, right? I have a video of the case, and, you know, I say to the fellow, Reuven says to Shimon, I'm just taking back what's mine, and Shimon's like, afal pichein, I don't want you to take it, or whatever, he's moda. On some level, is that good enough? Like, you would think that that would be a good raya, but on the other hand, the Rivam says, nah, the migu's also a good enough raya. The migu's also good enough. And that doesn't win, because stam, the Torah says, you got to take a shvu at the end. So it's hard to know where to put your finger on what's better than, you know, than the case where you chayav a shvu. Okay, that's a basic understanding in terms of these two deis in the Balei HaTosfos. Just wanted to expand it slightly to the concept of Eid Echad in general. Now, there's a lot of angles that you can take to come from this. Perhaps the one that I want, I mean, not perhaps, the one I wanted to take was coming from the Ramban in Maseches Shavuos, right? The Ramban has a discussion. Can you be mechayev someone a shvua? I'm sorry, can you be mechayev someone a shvua if you have an Eid Echad with a Tainus Shema? Now, what on earth does that mean? It's a very simple case. It sounds complicated. It's not at all. Right? I come home from my vacation, come back from Camp Morashah, and I notice that something's not in my house that used to be there. My favorite portrait, my favorite painting is not in my house anymore. So an Eid Echad comes over to me and he says, you know, I saw your next door neighbor come into your house and leave with that painting. So your next door neighbor must have stolen it. So now I have an Eid Echad. I don't have a Taina. I don't know anything. Like, you tell me it happened. Maybe it happened. I don't know. Right? I don't have a Taina. I just have this Eid Echad coming along and telling me that this is what happens. That's what we call an Eid Echad with a Tainas Shema. Okay? Now, this is a machlokas rishonim, whether or not we can be mechayiv somebody to swear if you have an Eid Echad with a Tainus Shema. Some of the deos that fall out on either side, in the Ramban, this is all quoted within the Ramban, all the rishonim quoted, but the Ramban, I don't know, for whatever reason, the Ramban has a real arichas over there, because he goes through a lot of rayas back and forth. So we're going to leave out the rayas, although it's very necessary. But Lamaisa, the Ramban quotes from Rabbeinu Ephraim, Talmud HaRif, right? Which is interesting, because I always viewed, I mean, it might be two different Rabbeinu Ephraims, but there is a Rabbeinu Ephraim who's constantly arguing with Rabbeinu Tam. But this Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Ramban refers to as a student of the Rif.
He's the one who doesn't drink Yom Purim.
What?
Drink
which Rabbeinu Ephraim?
That Rabbeinu Ephraim. No,
the Talmud or the Rif?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, I know he quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim, but there's also different shittas in Rabbeinu Ephraim. For example, the Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYashar in Benogea to, and you guys didn't do the 8th Perek, but one of the things you might have done, had you done the 8th Perek this year, is a discussion of, is a Nida Yeherig Val Yavar? Is a Nida Yeherig Val Yavar? So that was a big machlokas, Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Tam. So it could be Rabbeinu Ephraim that he's quoting there is the same exact Rabbeinu Ephraim. I always assume, because he's quoted in the Sefer HaYashar, that he was one of the Balei HaTosfos. Maybe I'm off, I don't know. It was a big machlokas, Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Tam, because it's either the exception that proves the rule, or it's the exception to the rule, right? Because it's in the Parshas Arayos in the Torah. It says, well, it lists off all the different Arayos, and then it also says Anida. And on the other hand, you're also chayav kares, but there's no chi of malchus, and there's no iser labal, iser labol, etc. So on one hand, you have certain aspects of the nida; on the other hand, you don't. So which one is it? Is it a iser arayos with a heter, a heter after the fact from misa and from repercussions, or is it a chi of kares that's not gili arayos? Right, so that's the question that they deal with, right? The chaps a big nafkamina for certain cases. Once you assume abizrayu, the chaps a big nafkamina, whether or not it's really gili arayus. The Shulchan Aruch discusses. It seems almost that the Shulchan Aruch accepts both of those ideas that it's considered gili arayus, and abizrayu of gili arayus is yehurig val yavur. which neither one of those two things is davar pashut ad ma'od, but it seems the Shulchan Aruch does accept that there's a case in the end of Siman Kuf Tzadikei in Yoredeya where they discuss, are you allowed to, like, they talk about taking your wife's pulse. So if your wife's Anida and she's sick, obviously, you know, we're not talking about Pikuach Nefesh, although that would be an issue, right? So are you allowed to take her pulse, you know, if she's Anida? So there's a discussion, and the Shach over there writes, it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because that's a medical thing. That's not, you know, what we would call, in modern terms, that's not derechiba, right? That's not called touching in a romantic way. So therefore, taking somebody's pulse is heter gomer anyway, no matter who it is. It could be an Eishes Ish, it could be anybody. So therefore, it's mutter to take your wife's pulse if she's a nida. But it's mashma from the Shach, that had it been considered negia shel chiba, then it would have been usur even under certain such circumstances that it was a case of pikuach nefesh, because he would say that it's yareg val yavar under those circumstances to do a negia shel chiba, which is again assuming these two things. Anyway, that has nothing to do with us. It's just that's a big machlokes Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, also comes up at the beginning of Ksuvus to explain the chupas nida case in the Gemara. So. Okay, the case over here is Rabbeinu Ephraim says, and as well as the Rimigash, another well-known Talmud of the Rif, says that you cannot swear Shavuos Eid Echad based on a Taina Shema. Based on a Taina Shema. However, the Das Rov Rishonim, including the Rif himself, and the Ramban likes this, right? And it seems, although it's debatable what the Rambam sheet is over here, but it seems that the Rambam could be thrown into this mix as well. They hold that even if there's a Tainus Shema, right? Even if there's a Tainus Shema, that the Eid Echad comes to you and says, this is what I saw, and you don't know anything, so still, you can make the guy take a Shavuos Eid Echad. Okay, this is the Machlokas over here, and in fact, the Rif's case is a Machlokas against the Gaonim. The Rif quotes a case which is almost parallel to the case of Nascha de Rabbi Abba, where this fellow comes along and he sees this Eid Echad comes and he says, I saw this guy taking a bundle of wool from you. A bundle of wool. What's the Lushan over there? I forgot already. I don't know. It's something to Kisna, right? I forgot the Lushan. It's a fancy Aramaic term that basically means a bundle of wool. But so the Rif quotes the Gaon, and this fellow says back, no, I was just taking it because you told me you owe me money, and therefore I'm going to come and take it, and I'm going to pater you from the rest of the Chov. So that's similar to saying, in Chatvi, vididi Chatvi. Right, he's saying, I was just taking back what was mine. So the only difference between the case of Nascha de Rav Abba and the Rif's case is that in the case of Nascha de Rav Abba, it's mashma that the Bala Bias knows about it, and he's just adding the Eid Echad. Whereas in the case of the Rif, so the Bala Bias knows nothing about it, and the Eid Echad is the one who's telling him the whole story. So based on that, the Rif says he still has to take a shvua and mitok shena yachal yishava mishalim, whereas the Geonim hold, nope. He's potter. All he has to do is take a shvuas hesis. And they're not saying it because they paskin like Rav and Shmuel. They paskin like Rabbi Abba. However, they hold that in this case, since the guy doesn't have a taina, so Mamela, it's only considered the word of the Eid Echad, and therefore really he's potter. He's really potter. He doesn't have to take a shvua. But, you know, we instituted a shvuas hesis towards the end of the Amoraim, and therefore we want to throw it in and make the guy take a shvuas hesis. Fine. So this machlokes is generally explained. The first place I ever saw it was in the Sefer Pri Moshe. He has a volume on shvuas mamon. It's very nice. I don't know. It's kedai to check out the Pri Moshe. In general, it's a very fun Sefer at the very least. You'll enjoy it. I don't know if you'll agree with everything he says, but it's great to get the ball rolling. So the Pri Moshe, in his Sefer on Shavuos Mamon, has a few chapters on Eid Echad, and the basic hakira that he starts off with is the standard one, which is What is the function of an Eid Echad? Is the Eid Echad there because he has full-on nemonis, like two Eidim, Elamai, two Eidim could be Mechayev you to pay, and one Eid is only Mechayev you to swear. Right? But in terms of his Haggadah is as good as two Eidim. That's one way to look at it. Or you could say, no, one Eid is not, he doesn't have a din of Eidus per se. His job is there to add clout. He's there to bolster the taina of the Toveya. So when the Toveya makes a claim, says, you stole from me, and then an Eid Echad comes along and is like, yes, I saw this fellow stealing from you. Now that's a strong taina. And the only thing that could beat such a taina would be, or at least get it back to a stalemate, would be if I then swore to contradict the Eid Echad. So I swore to contradict the Eid Echad, now I'm back on similar footing or better footing than the Toveya. But if there is no Toveya, there's nothing for the Eid Echad to bolster, there's nothing for the Eid Echad to add chashivas to, so he on his own can't really make any kind of a Haggadah's Eidus. He can't really make a claim, and therefore there's nothing for him to say. Yeah?
Toveya can make a claim even though he doesn't know for sure.
He makes a Taina Shema, but a Taina Shema is almost always going to lose.
And he can make a Taina, he can make a regular Taina, you stole my thing, even though he's not for sure.
What does that mean, you stole my thing? So I think you stole from me. I had $1 million in my pocket when I walked into the basement this morning, and I think you stole it. Really? Did anyone see it? I'm just making stuff up here. Like, I don't claim to know what really happened.
But I'm saying, why can't the Toveya take the aid from the aid and make that into his time? The aid is pretty clear. It's pretty clear from the aid that he stole it.
So now he has a little bit of hearsay on his side, but again, a very weak taina. Hearsay, somebody told me that. So if two Eidim come and they want to say, we saw this fellow steal from you, okay, that's a Haggadah's Eidus onto itself. I don't need a Taina to make that better.
You're saying that for the Taina, the Toveya is going to need to say, like, how do you know it's that?
I saw you, I have this circumstantial evidence, I have something which proves that you stole from me, or at least I say that it happened. Right, I know that it happened, and you say that it didn't happen. But now I have an Eid Echad who also says that it happened. So now my Taina is a Taina Chashuva. It's a good Taina, right? So Mela, you now have, if you want to beat such a Chashuva Taina, you have to swear. But if you look at it as a Goddess Eidus, you don't need a Toveya. With regular Eidim, you don't need a Toveya, and therefore, if you look at it as a real Goddess Eidus, so now, you know. You really need to swear in order to beat it, right? And Chav's a lot of nafkaminas. Some of the nafkaminas I gave you over there is that there is an extreme shita, a very extreme shita quoted in the Beis Yosef. You can check it out in the Rishonim that when I swear to contradict the Eid Echad, I'm now officially pasul going forward. If I take a shvua and I contradict the Eid Echad, I'm heretofore pasul for a shvua. It's that the Eid Echad's Haggadah's Eidus is so good that yes, the Torah says you could swear to contradict it, but no, we don't actually, you know, believe that that's what happened. Ad Kedei Kaf, that we assume going forward that you swore falsely.
Well, why isn't it the same for the Eid?
Because that's the Nemanis of an Eid Echad is essentially the same as the Nemanis of two Eidim, just that the Torah gives you an out.
And the Nitba is like Nugea or something?
The Nitba is doing what the Torah allows him to do, but basically we assume he's lying. Basically we assume he swore falsely because there was an Eid Echad testifying against him. In this case, we have to accept him. Now the Rush doesn't accept this. The Rush says no. But the Toveya, the Rush takes the next step, which is a little less extreme, but still crazy. The Rush says even the Eid Echad and the Toveya can go back to court tomorrow and testify that this guy swore falsely. They don't get their money back because that's like, you know, quote unquote double jeopardy like they have in American law, you know? But they don't get their money back. But they can still, you know, they can still passel him for future shvuos. And the Rajba, he has a tshuva. He's like, what are you talking about? Like, the guy's got immunity. He's got immunity. The Torah says, you swear to contradict the Eid Echad. What are we even talking about over here? Of course you believe him. So is the Eid Echad Paslevis now? Now we're getting, you know, now the problem is we're believing somebody, we're not believing somebody else. So it's not so pushing what to do over here. But Lamaisa, he rejects this out of hand. He says, but the whole thing only gets started with this chakira in terms of how we view the Eid Echad. Do we view it as Mamash HaGodes Eidus? And that just there's an out? Or do we view it as a bolstering of the Taina? So we're way out of time, but Lamaisa, it's worthwhile to try to plug this back in to the shitas that we spoke out and see which sides of this additional discussion, if it's necessary to plug in the re and the revum, into which side of this discussion we're having in the first place, would that change the way we view them, or at least to show where they would fall out on the spectrum of how we view the Eid Echad? You know, it's an interesting thing to work on. How many are we?